Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
Here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, WVFF 97.7. We are going to dive right back into Jeremiah chapter 3, the actual beginning of the Holy Bible, believe it or not. This is where you will find the oldest reference to this world, possibly other than, I have the opinion that Job is possibly from the first age of man, but this world was here before. Mankind had a thriving civilization that became modern, destroyed itself, and God flooded the place because of the hatred and evil in the world. And Jeremiah's getting ready to tell you that he actually put the sun out, and we don't know how long it was out, eons. And if Christianity could understand that and begin preaching this entire Bible in its totality, science and this Bible would go hand in hand, the way it actually does. Chapter 3, Book of Jeremiah. They said, if a man put away his wife, and she go from him and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Question mark. Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers, yet return again to me, saith the Lord. Now this is a reference back to the Levitical law. The woman, man divorces his wife. She becomes another man's wife. It's forbidden for her to come back to him again, looked at as an unclean vessel. But God's talking about the children of Israel here. They were married to him. They found other gods. They divorced him. He actually divorced them. And he's asking a question here. According to the law, shall I allow you to come back to me? The law says no. We found out, though, is the law was given in punishment. God's everlasting covenant given to Abraham. Follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children, which Christ reestablished, because the law was a punishment. Christ was never under the law. He was under the first covenant. He abided by the law as much as he could without getting in the way of his ministry. He worked on the Sabbath, which the law says they are sinful if they work on the Sabbath. But he went to the cross as a perfect sacrifice without sin. So the entire first covenant, which was not the Ten Commandments in the Levitical law, given to Abraham, as I said before, follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children, trumps the law. So God's asking the question here, how can I let you come back? It's against the law. But follow God with all your heart. This Bible says the moment you begin to do that, all that you've done before is erased from memory. Wow. Can you believe that paragraph says that? It does. Read it several times and think about it. Lift up thine eyes unto the high places and see where thou hast not been lined with. In the ways hast thou set for them, as the Arabian in the wilderness, and thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms and with thy wickedness. Think about all you've been doing, all the other gods that you've been worshiping. Just ponder it for a minute, telling his children to do this. Therefore the showers have been withholden. There hath been no latter rain, and thou hast a whore's forehead. Thou refugest to be ashamed, and because of all those things I just told you to ponder, all your misbehaviors, this is why life is not good for you, Christian. Follow God with all your heart. Jesus says, follow me with all your heart, and be baptized. And if you follow me with all your heart, the blessings from heaven will flow. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my father, thou art the guide of my youth? Question mark. Will you not do an about face and begin to follow me? Will he reserve his anger forever? Will he keep it to the end? Behold, thou hast spoken and done evil things as thou couldest. Do you think God's going to wait to the end of the world to punish you? No, you're getting punished right now because you won't follow him with all your heart, Christian. The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot, and that is reference to worshiping other gods. We talk about this all the time, Christians. You know, it doesn't have to be a statue on a pedestal. It can be something in your life that garners the majority of your attention. Fancy sports car, you know, a job, lust for women, whatever has the priority in your life is your God. God says, follow me with all your heart. I am the priority in your life. And if you do that, you're allowed to have the pleasures of this world, but you're going to keep them in moderation, because if you're following me all your heart, you will know where the line is and you won't cross it. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. But she returned not. God is always saying, come back. You've never gone too far. Come back. Turn around. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. Speaking about the two kingdoms now. Civil war broke the two kingdoms up. The northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. And Israel went much further than Judah did. Became much worse. Just, I mean, some of the kings even made their own religions. And Judah, he's saying, just he's kind of complacent, because Judah should have tried to do something about it. You're his brother. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, you are. Your brother is falling. It's your job to go and pick him up and try to guide him in the right way. The age-old question that nobody seems to answer. Mm-hmm. Am I my brother's keeper?
That's a good answer, because that's a proper answer.
Yes. And I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery. That is not men and women having sex, okay? That is worshiping other gods. I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. Huh. You know, God does allow divorce, Christian. I know it's the uttermost sin within the Christian community, but God does allow it. In fact, he's saying it right here. I divorced her.
Shall not two be yoked unless they be equal?
Unequally, yeah. Yeah, it's not. It's a sin, but it's a sin like any other sin. The least of all sins will keep you out of heaven. But, back in my day, you're a Christian in the Christian church and you've been divorced. Oh, you can't even be a deacon. Mm-hmm. We'll discuss whether you can be an usher or not.
We're thinking about your membership.
You are so religiously unholy that we don't know. Yeah. Oh, man, but the pastor and his wife are having problems with getting a divorce. Oh, it's all her fault. And yeah. we're gonna work with him and try to keep him at the pedestal. Yep. Yeah, religion. Yeah. So God's saying he divorced the nation of Israel, yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not. So there's
so you saw what I did.
Judah's seen all of this. And he's just doing his own thing down there too. It's not like, wow, you see what God's doing to Israel?
Uh-huh.
No, because they don't even know God anymore. They're down there saying, man, Israel's having a bad time. The economy's bad. It's drought. You know, it's just horrible things to have. Murder rates way up.
Must be karma or
What's
something.
What's going on?
We'll have to go talk to
them. They need
to
fund the police more. Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also, followed right behind Israel. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom, as she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. That basically just says anything went, doesn't matter. The whole idea of God was gone. Whatever came in there and brought pleasure to these people, they did it. And there's also a line there you need to understand. She defiled the land. The people in the nation set the course for the nation itself. The leaders of the nation set the course for the nation itself. You put an evil administration in, such as the last one, Mr. Mm-hmm. Biden, mm-hmm. you watch where this nation goes, and it did. It was heading for straight to hell. The current administration actually knows God. I don't know at what level, but I believe God is, you know, maybe like Nebuchadnezzar and Rabshakeh, God is using him. Mm-hmm. He is a tool, and he does recognize God. He's a different man this time around. And I believe God has his attention, and things are looking up. Is this nation going to find salvation through this administration? No. But this nation is going to be able to fulfill its duties to God. And there is one more to do, protect the nation of Israel in an upcoming end days battle. And had the other administration been in there, this nation would not have been capable of doing it. God is resurrecting enough of this nation to keep it in line to do his duty, and then judgment will come. This book says that. Mm-hmm. And yet, for all this treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart. With her whole heart. Mm-hmm. Some have, but the majority of the nation has not. You know, at that point, God does bless those who are following him, but the nation as a whole will continue to go downhill. We have about 50% here, or better, could care less about God, or just they know a religious aspect of God. Mm-hmm. They don't know God. Good. They visit church on Sunday. Well, so, you know, I've seen lately, Jonathan, these churches around here have a service every third Sunday.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Yeah. So we've gone from every Sunday. Well, when I was a kid, it was Sunday and Wednesday.
Yeah.
Sunday, Sunday night, and Wednesday. We never missed. And then when, you know, Sunday night kind of fell off, and then Wednesdays fell off, and some of these churches, once a month now.
Right. And that's and not to bunny trail this, but to me, that's Masonic, because they have their meeting once a month.
Really?
Yeah.
I had noticed that.
Oh, yeah. So they don't meet, they're just like that. Like, they'll meet like once a month, yeah. And it'll be nighttime.
Yeah, so you go in there once a month and get your religious vitamin.
Right.
Yeah. Keep well, your...
Yeah, they set the course.
Yeah, for set the nation. Course. Yeah, and it gives you a chance to get your leisure suit cleaned.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Go through all the motions that you want to, and, you know, dress in gold and everything like that. Feel really good.
Yeah, and yet, for all this, her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me whole heart, but feigned, saith the Lord. And that feignedly means in a false manner, mm-hmm. in a religious manner. I can't stress this enough. God hates religion. Evaluate your daily walk with God, Christian. If it's a religious walk, it's worthless. It will be burned as chaff one day. Oh, what does that mean? God hates religion. I'm religious. Okay, call yourself religious, but do you have a relationship with God? What he said earlier, is he the thing in your life that occupies the preeminent part of your day and your mind? Or, oh, it's Sunday. I almost forgot. We got an hour to get to church.
Do we have to go?
Yes, that's religion, okay? Yeah, do we have to go this week? Yes, because this is the third Sunday. We got to get there. Otherwise, it'll be five more weeks before we get back. Yes, that's what he just said. That's, they seen all these bad things happening to their brothers and sisters in Israel. Did they turn to me with their hearts, begin to worship me and praise me, and think about me and commune with me? No. But they did start going to church a little more often and bringing their tithes by the temple, coming by, dropping off some animals for sacrifice. I don't want that. To obey is better than sacrifice. To talk to me is better than sacrifice, God says. And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. And there is the reference right back. But she turned to me in a religious manner, mm-hmm. and Israel even done more so. More religion into the land. Who are we worshiping? Remember that God our fathers used to know? That's who we're worshiping.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's its temple right over there, right next to the brothel. Yeah, you take a left turn at the brothel and it's right there. Yeah, go there and leave your tithes.
Can you imagine looking at God and being like, oh, we do this because this is the way that you want us to do it?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, that's exactly what religion is. This is the method that we were taught.
Yeah. She's like, wait, I don't know none of that crap.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyhow.
Verse 12, Jeremiah 3. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord. I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord. And I will not keep anger forever. Okay. And all of this is leading up to what's getting ready to be told here in just a few minutes. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree. Ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you once. I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. Return to me, because I will selectively take some of you who have turned to me and take them out of there.
Mm-hmm. Describing a remnant.
Yes, and leave the rest of you. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. It shall come to pass when ye be multiplied and increased in the land in those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done any more, because it was never present in the second temple. When the first temple was destroyed, the Levites took all of the treasures of the Lord out of there. And when they returned to the second temple, when it was being built, the Ark of the Covenant was never present. It's still not there. And there is a prophecy in this Bible about America returning it to the nation of Israel in the beginning of the tribulation period to be placed inside the first temple. Amazing. You didn't believe it's in here? It's in here. At that time, they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem, neither shall they walk any more. And we just entered into that period, the period right after the tribulation period. Christ rules during the millennium. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. In those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel. They shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given for an inheritance unto your fathers. But I said, how shall I put thee among the children and give thee a pleasant land, a goodly heritage of the host of nations? Question, how can I possibly do this because you are in such a backslidden condition? And God answers his own question. I said, thou shalt call me my father and shalt not turn away from me. You shall follow me with all your heart. That's the only way I can do it. Surely as a wife treacherously departeth from her husband, so hath ye dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. Christian, God requires your attention daily. Otherwise, you can read that and place your name in there in place of wife. A voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way. They have forgotten the Lord their God. And we see that all through the book of Kings. One generation following God, and they just don't seem to impart the information to their offspring. The next generation forgets who he is. How much are we all guilty of that? Verse 22, return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. I was a Pentecostal all my life. And if you know what the Pentecostal religion is, it's very harsh and legalistic. And you go through all, they build this regiment of ways you must act and things you must do to keep yourself holy. Well, this book says you cannot be in a holy state in this flesh. The only part of you that can be holy is the spirit man. You can guide this flesh down the straight and narrow path, but it will be unholy and it will be returned to the dust one day. God has nothing he can do with it. Nothing he even wants to do with it. Don't think this bag of bones you're carrying around is going with you one day when you leave this place. No, you're getting a brand new one.
Yeah, that's just a car you're driving for a moment.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Mine's full of titanium and I don't want it. So return, ye backsliding children. I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we will come unto thee. We come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. And God says time and time again, the moment you turn around and begin to follow me, it's as though you were never not following me. You got to keep that in your heart, because the story I was leading up to as the Pentecostal was, it seemed so hard to turn around. Once you had kind of backslidden, oh my gosh, it's such a process. I got to go through that again. I even wrote a book about it 30 years ago. I called it God's Glorious Green Mountain. And the whole thing was that, man, I've been climbing this mountain for months, and I'm right up here near the throne room of God, and all of a sudden I lose focus and I'm at the bottom again, and it's going to take me months to get back up there. And it was like, how do I get the strength to try to start climbing this mountain again, to find God again? And when I read this book for myself and found out it's a momentary turnaround, you go from the base to the top. God does the climb for you. All you have to do is begin following him with all your heart. There's no effort in the climb. Freedom in Christ. Christ, your Sabbath, the freedom. The law does not apply when you have accepted Christ's salvation. And to the Pentecostal, whom I was one, if you accept Christ as your Redeemer and his perfect sacrifice, and you choose to hold on to the law, you're telling him it just wasn't good enough what he done. He should have done it a little better and a little more to your satisfaction and put a little more religious nuance in it. Don't even go there. The King of Kings knows what he's doing, and he did it the exact way he planned on doing it. He doesn't want your religion. He wants your heart. Follow me with all your heart and be baptized. Paul says all things are legal for the Christian. All things are not legal for the Jew. Why? Because the Levitical law governs their life. Paul says all things are legal for the Christian. Now, this is the Jews' Jews. This is the Pharisee of Pharisees saying this. Months earlier, well, years earlier, he would never have said anything like that. No, the law. You live and die by the law. That was Paul. But now he says, through Christ's perfect sacrifice, all things are legal for the Christian. Not all things are good for the Christian. All things must be kept in moderation. And if you follow God with all your heart, that trumps the law, and you'll know what is right for you and what's not right for you. And I dare say some Christians have the strength of character to be allowed to do a lot more in this life than others. Don't ever judge your neighbor by what you think he's doing wrong in his Christian life, because you do not know the relationship he has with God. The Bible says that I dare not judge my neighbor. I know not what his father has told him is acceptable for him to do. You know, one might be allowed to indulge in alcohol. One Christian may not. And that's by God's dictate, not the law. The Bible never says you couldn't drink. But the spirit inside you, how strong it is, and how it follows God dictates that. Are you able to handle a little alcohol? This Christian maybe, yes. That Christian over there, definitely not. He doesn't need to be anywhere around it. And that applies to all of the pleasures in this life. They're all available to you as a Christian. But they're not all good for you. And your spirit man will discern if it follows God. And you must keep them all in moderation. And the spirit will also keep them in moderation if you follow after God with all your heart. Go back to 22. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal you, your backslidings. I'll forget exactly everything that you've done. Behold, we come unto thee. Thou art the Lord our God. And that is the answer from Israel. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills. You will find no salvation in any God on this planet, or any item or any pleasure on this planet. And from the multitude of mountains, truly in the Lord our God is salvation of Israel. The only place you will find salvation is in the Lord.
Mm-hmm. And when it makes reference to that and it's saying the multitude of the mountains, it makes me think on verse 6 where it says, she's gone up upon every high mountain.
Yes, searching
right.
for everything yeah. that could possibly give her peace.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned!